Good morning. This is Mike Snedeker. I'm here to interview Debbie Nathan. Debbie Nathan is an award-winning journalist, especially known for covering the border, problems with the border, since writing a book called Women and Other Aliens when she lived in El Paso, and then 30 years ago. And she moved to New York for a couple of decades and is now back on the border doing award-winning work for Intercept and other publications about life on the border. And Debbie, we are particularly interested in what's happening with COVID-19 and border conditions where people are jammed together so closely.
Yeah, you know, there is not so far a lot of reported cases here. There are about 8 in El Paso, and there's less than a handful in Juarez, which is our sister city. But I think there's a sense, particularly in Juarez, that things can get out of control really, really quickly because as your listeners might know, there's a program called Remain in Mexico, which under the Trump administration started it back in January, a year ago, so it's been a little bit over a year now, where people, asylum seekers who come up from Central America, are not allowed to come into the United States, which is really their right, you know, to make an asylum claim. So now they're sent back to Mexico, and they're sent to border cities like Juarez. Juarez is one of them, which are very, very dangerous for these folks for many reasons. For one, they're targeted by criminal cartels as people who are, you know, easily identifiable. I mean, a Cuban on the street in Juarez really sticks out. They dress a little differently. They speak with different accents. And that's true for everybody who's in this program, includes Cubans and Central Americans and Brazilians, too. So they really stick out, and they're just constantly attacked and kidnapped for ransom and used as cash registers here on the border. So they live in, many of them live in shelters, and I have a lot of experience inside these shelters. They're very, very crowded. They're dirty. They're old and decrepit. And people are sick in these shelters, including the kids. You know, everybody has sort of low-grade constant illnesses because of the crowding. And so this makes them really vulnerable to the COVID-19 virus. And so people are sort of waiting to see how that plays out. And the situation is even worse over in Brownsville, which is on the other end of Texas, Brownsville and the sister city Matamoros, where there are 2,000 people living in this, I mean, I hesitate to even call it a camp. It's just this ticky-tack tent city that's right on the river in the mud. And there's no formal refugee organization. It's all sort of run by volunteers to the extent that there's food and medical care. That's all volunteer, mostly coming from the other side, from the U.S. And those people are in extreme vulnerability for COVID-19. So things have gotten even worse the last week or so because the United States has closed the border to non-U.S. citizens and non-permanent legal residents. So, you know, it's weird. It's a little hard to imagine if you're not here, but these are sister cities, and culturally there's constant back and forth normally between these sister cities on both sides of the border, all the way from Texas to California. And so if you close the border, you make it impossible for people to come over to see their families, to come over and get medical care. And the irony is that there's almost no reported COVID on the Mexico side yet. As I mentioned in Juarez, I believe there are about 3 cases right now. And yet over on this side, there's far more, you know. So you have the Trump administration saying that we're closing the border to protect the United States from the South. And when you look at, I mean, you can look at maps of where COVID is, and there's very little of it in Latin America now. And but Trump is talking about protecting the United States from people from the South, you know, which is sort of a classic idea that these are people that are dirty and infected. And in fact, probably the real danger is people going from the United States to Mexico, which is still happening.
Do we have any reason to believe that Mexico has a grasp of what's going on, that has testing abilities, and that we really know?
Well, Mexico is in the same situation, I think, as a lot of communities in the United States, including the one I live in El Paso. There's almost no tests available. People are, I mean, I'm hearing reports here in El Paso of people that are getting really sick and they can't be tested in order to even start to get a test, you have to first go to your doctor. If you even have a doctor, 30% of people here are uninsured, and there is a doctor shortage. But if you manage to have a doctor or find a doctor and you can pay for that doctor in some way, whether it's your insurance deductible, your insurance, or you're just a private ability to pay, and this is a very, very poor city. All right, so go to your doctor charges you or your insurance for a flu test, which has to come out negative, and a strep test, which has to come out negative, and you can't go to the health department and get a free COVID test unless you've done all that, which can cost many hundreds of dollars. And so, you know, it's funny. I mean, we're pretty much in the same situation as Mexico over here. And I mean, Mexico probably hasn't recognized most of the COVID that exists in Mexico, just like the United States hasn't recognized most of our COVID. But in many communities, it's worse than other communities. And I would say El Paso or these border communities, at least in Texas, are probably in very bad shape. I'm talking about the U.S. side now. So the difference between one side of the border and Mexico and trying to figure out what's going on, I don't think is very much.
Okay. So you're saying that in Juarez, people are being sent there from all over the border who have come from places in Central America, from Africa, from Cuba, from wherever. They're all these people who are neither Mexicans nor citizens of the U.S. are being concentrated in camps in particular cities along the border?
No, there's one city, Matamoros, which is just right across from Brownsville at the tip of Texas by the Gulf of Mexico. There is a camp there. There's no camps in other places. But there are these dirty, crowded shelters. I mean, Juarez is full of them. They're usually run by churches, and they're very well-meaning. I mean, there was a shelter I hung out at for a very long time because I was working with a family trying to get them through their MPP process. They were here for a year. And the kids, they had two little girls. One was six, one is three. And those girls were constantly sick. It was just one crisis to another because it's just, you know, there's 30 people in this very crowded, decrepit place. It's dirty. It's really hard to keep clean. And, you know, everybody was on top of each other. There were 10 people in a little room, like the size of a small bedroom in the United States. So there was one family with four people and another family with four people, including kids, and then two other people all living in this one room. And so the kids were always sick, which shows you that this flu stuff is all normal flu, right? It's just in the air at these places all the time. That family actually gave up on their claim after a year. They were so worn down and so sick. And so it's a long story, but they ended up going to Puebla, which is way, way far south in Mexico, you know, near Mexico City. And they're resettling in Puebla. But it's interesting because they just arrived in Puebla and they're telling me that they're afraid to go outside because even down there, that far south of the border, that far south of the United States, everybody's staying at home. I mean, people in Mexico are also very worried about COVID-19.
Wow. Well, social distancing sounds like a luxury.
I think social distancing is a luxury for many, many people, not just in the United States, but also in Mexico. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, what's happening? Are there any asylum cases at all being heard now?
So there's this sort of revolt in the immigration court because judges and prosecutors and the employees, like the guards, you know, the people that lead people into the courtroom, they are really worried about getting infected. And in fact, I can't remember what city it is. I believe in Denver, there's an infected judge. And I think there's some infected people up in New Jersey that work in the courts. And so a lot of the courts actually have been formally shut. Like in Seattle, the immigration courts are shut. A lot of other courts, like here in El Paso, well, in most courts, the government is insisting on keeping these courts open for what are called detained people. Detained people looking for asylum are usually in ICE detention. But weirdly enough, down here in El Paso, the people that are in the Migrant Protection Protocol, the MPP, where they've been booted back into Mexico, they're considered detained. And so they show up at 4 a.m. for their hearings at the bridge, and they're bussed in on these crowded vans into El Paso, into the immigration court, and where they're put in these tiny rooms, again, like maybe the size of three little bedrooms in the United States. And there'll be like 30 people in these courts, 30 asylum seekers in the courts, you know, the judge, the translator, guard, like, they're very, very crowded, and basically the court personnel, including the judges, are freaking out. The judges' union has called for the complete closure of courts, and so has the union for the prosecutors, you know, and then the lawyers who represent these people. Like, they've all gotten together and demanded the closure of the courts, but the government so far has just ignored this and insisted that people go into immigration court. It's really, really scary.
Well, Debbie, on that scary note, I really appreciate this Polaroid snapshot of life now on the border in the time of the COVID virus. Thank you much, Debbie.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Joe. That's Mike Snedeker talking on the Old Mole Variety Hour.